GOP leader Mitch McConnell unloading on his Democrat counterpart Chuck Schumer for Schumer's call for new elections in Israel, also for criticizing Prime Minister Netanyahu over the war in Gaza. The Dow down 98 points. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today on the eve of Easter. Why the cross? Why was Jesus crucified? Why did he have to die on the cross? What if he had not died on the cross? What if the cross had never become a reality? Where would the world stand today? Where would we be today? We'd be dead in our trespasses and sins, according to the scripture. But just before the top of the hour news, we're talking about the fact that the lost person sees the cross as being preposterous. And I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Time will not allow us to go into all of the detail of all of those verses, which are fantastic when you look at them individually. But that 18th verse says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, that is to the unsaved, to the lost. It's foolishness, moronic, nonsense, nonsensical, absurd, preposterous, crazy. We get our word from that moron today. So the world sees the cross as moronic, as being stupid, as being crazy. But the saved, let me pause for a moment. The saved, those that have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, the saved person sees the cross as being powerful. How do we know that? If you've been saved, you understand what I'm saying. It's the power of the cross that can change a person's life. It's the power of the cross that can make a dead man alive, spiritually speaking. The scripture says in the 18th verse, "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." That word power, we have our word dunamis, dynamite. So, if you want to put it that way, for the saved person, Dr. Davis, the cross is dynamite.
Amen.
It changes
Amen.
A person's life.
That's right.
Changes our lives. If you've said yes to Jesus Christ, let me pause for a moment. Can you reflect back on the time that you embraced the cross, the Christ of the cross, when you said, "Lord Jesus, I'm lost. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and save me"? Do you recall that sense of relief, that sense of joy, that sense of delight that you felt in your physicality and your spirituality when you said yes to Christ? That's what we're talking about. The scripture says, "But unto us which are saved, it is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite of God." In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Literally, it is not something to be covered. The cross, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." What is the scripture saying? The power of the cross is salvation to everyone, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Literally everyone, saint and sinner, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to save. Have you been saved? Have you said yes to Jesus Christ? Have you embraced the cross? Dr. Davis says no other method, no other means but the cross that can provide salvation.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when you consider now, I got excited when you started talking about that dynamite power.
Amen.
Of the cross.
Amen.
Praise God. Because everything pertaining to the cross points to salvation.
Right.
Even when you go back, and I had to pull that up in the book of Numbers, chapter 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to cut it short for the sake of time. You got a lot of stuff we need to discuss. But when you look at Numbers 21, when all the people were bitten by poisonous serpents, God told Moses to make a brazen serpent on a pole and raise it up.
Right.
And everyone that looks upon that serpent, when they look upon it, they will live.
That's right. Amen.
That's power.
That's power.
Now, Christ hadn't even died on the cross, but this brazen serpent was pointing.
That's right. Absolutely.
Toward the time when Christ would die on the cross. Every one of you that hears my voice on today, if you will look to Christ like they did back in Numbers 21, when they looked upon that brazen serpent.
That's right.
You will live.
Mm-hmm. It's look,
I'm not saying that the physical
live.
Body.
Right. Look
die.
And live.
We know that we have to do that.
That's right.
Simply because Christ did.
Mm-hmm.
But when God raised him from the dead, Christ signed a contract in his blood for us to be resurrected from the dead.
That's right.
Now, because that contract has been signed, we have a guarantee that just like Christ was raised from the dead, God is also, scripture say, going to quicken. That means to bring life, eternal life, spiritual life, back to our mortal bodies. And likewise, we will be raised from the dead. That's exciting to me. That's so much power, as you said. So much power is involved in that verse of scripture alone to let us know salvation was, the plan was made a long time ago.
Amen.
And when Moses did this with the serpent, we look at it today, the cross represents the very same thing. So all we have to do is have the faith, just like these people did, look to Christ. When we look to the cross, we'll be able to have eternal life as well.
Look and live. I like that text.
Amen.
I'm glad you brought that out. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is why the cross. Without the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be no salvation. But Dr. Davis, I think for some of our listeners, we may need to go back to first base. We need to go back to first things. Turn in your Bible and let's read it, Dr. Davis. Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis chapter 3. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve. I won't go into details of the creation, that Eve came out of the side of Adam. That's not the point. But God created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve is in the Garden of Eden where there's perfection, there's plenty, there's everything that's needed. And God said, there's one tree that you cannot partake of the fruit of that tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they did. Read that account for us, Dr. Davis, about the first 5 or 6 verses.
Now, when we look at what the Lord said, he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is verse 3. The tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And this is the serpent now, challenging the woman. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
So as a result of that sin, and let me touch on this and then you can jump in again. As a result of God saying don't, they did. Adam and Eve did. They disobeyed God, and disobedience is spelled this way, S-I-N, sin. And the scripture says in Romans, the 5th chapter, read it for us, Dr. Davis, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 12. Romans 5, 8 and 12. Ladies and gentlemen, because of the original sin, we're all born sinners. And the only way that sin can be mediated, mitigated, covered, is by the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood. And one man, Adam, brought sin into the world, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 12. Read those, Dr. Davis.
Romans 5?
8 and 12.
8 and 12. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, verse 13, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
And then, Dr. Davis, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, the scripture says this, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many.
Amen.
Ransom there is huper. It simply means a substitute. So, ladies and gentlemen, you and I were born in this world as a sinner. We cannot enter heaven as a sinner. Sin must be forgiven, must be covered, and the only way sin can be covered is by the shedding of blood. And Jesus Christ shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved. So we'll talk about the question that some ask today, Dr. Davis. Why the cross? Ladies and gentlemen, the cross is an emblem, a symbol of death. It is a symbol of sacrifice. Jesus Christ shed his rich red royal blood on the cross to mitigate, to cover, to become the, what is called in the biblical text, the propitiation. That means the covering for your sin and for mine. So we ask, why the cross? Because sin entered the world by one man, Adam. And as a result of sin, all will die spiritually. We're all going to die physically. But that second death is a spiritual death without Christ. Jesus became, according to John 1:29, Jesus became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last week that Jesus Christ was on this earth in his physicality, we call it Passion Week. Passion Week covers from the triumphal entry, we find that in Mark chapter 11, to the triumphal resurrection, Mark chapter 16, verse 1 and following. In the interim, the 7 days there, from Sunday to Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ lived his last week on this earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that takes away the sin of the world. But listen, Jesus Christ celebrating the last Passover meal with his disciples. Jesus literally, figuratively, philosophically, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, Jesus Christ became the Passover lamb. When John 1:29, Jesus entering, John points to him and says, behold, look intently and see, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You go back to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. The scripture says, for a Passover, there must be a lamb, a perfect lamb, a spotless lamb, a lamb without blemish. The lamb must be slain. The lamb must be sacrificed. And it's that sacrificial lamb that Jesus Christ became when he hung there on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
For your sins and for mine.
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, another reality, I mean, that the world needs, since they hate the cross so bad,
yeah,
you know, if they just reconsider.
Mm-hmm.
everybody, saved and unsaved. I hear them quoting John 3:16 a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm glad you know that.
That's right.
But you also need to know the second part. John 3:17 say,
that's right.
For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. That means the unsaved.
That's right.
But that the world through him might be saved.
That's right.
So then why would they hate the cross if the cross means salvation to them as well? Now, we just read in the book of Romans, which you told me to read there, mm-hmm. Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners.
That's right.
Now, you haven't done anything so good to deserve salvation today.
That's right.
Because if the truth be told, you wasn't fit to live and you wasn't fit to die.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ, but God, there's always a but God
That's
story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he did that while you were yet a sinner.
Right.
So then for that reason alone, then they need to stop hating on God.
Right.
Because in spite of the way they treat him, even right now, he still loves them.
There needs to be the embracing of the cross.
Amen.
The reception of the cross. The receiving of the cross. And the Christ of the cross.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus became that Lamb of God. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's a fantastic study. That last Passover celebration that Jesus had with his disciples, he instituted, he inaugurated the Lord's Supper. When we partake of the bread and the cup, the fruit of the vine, not sakar, not yanin, which is alcoholic beverage. So if you have anybody that says that, you know, we can celebrate the Lord's Supper and we can use some Jack Daniel's wine or something like that, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus participated with the disciples in that last Passover meal. He instituted, he inaugurated the Lord's Supper. When we participate, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the fruit of the vine, which is the word ornos in the Greek text, and that text in the scripture, referring to fresh grape juice, not alcoholic beverages, not so don't you dare let the Lord's Supper celebration be your excuse for, how would you say, getting tipsy on some Jack Daniels, if you will. That doesn't work. It's not biblical.
Amen.
But when Jesus was celebrating that final Passover with his disciples, he instituted the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, the scripture says, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of his suffering on Calvary's cross. Remembering of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognizing his soon coming again. That's what the celebration of the Lord's Supper is about. To reflect back on Calvary's cross and what Christ has done for us on the cross. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 831-0917. Perhaps, just perhaps today, you have a question about salvation. You have a question about what is Easter about. You have a question about how can I celebrate Easter appropriately. What is the cross for? The cross is a symbol of the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. Jesus took our sins and nailed them to the old rugged cross. He suffered and bled and died on the old rugged cross. Dr. Davis, look at for us, if you would, 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. I believe it tells us, I believe it's all wrapped up in that nutshell. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. I believe we need to understand the purpose of the cross. What happened at the cross? Why the cross? And we can understand what Easter is all about in understanding the cross.
Amen. 1 Peter 2, 24.
23 and 24.
23. Okay. Who, when he was reviled not again.
Mm-hmm.
When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed.
Amen. That's right. In fact, that's a quote from Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And by his stripes we're healed. By the stripes, that is the beating and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. We are healed spiritually if we embrace the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, if you consider all that suffering, Dr. Youngblood, I don't know of too many people that will stand flat-footed and take a beating. I'm talking about a ferocious beating, and don't say a mumbling word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a country boy.
Amen.
And where we came from, or where I come from, it didn't take much but just a word to start a fight.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Now, when you consider how people insult each other with words, and words start fights, this man took a whipping all night long.
That's right.
And the scripture's telling us right here, when he was reviled or angered or vexed,
mm-hmm.
we can include all those words in
there. Right.
He reviled not again.
That's right.
In fact, even when he was hanging on the cross, when they were making mockery out of him, he said, "Do you not think right now that I couldn't ask my Father and he'd send me more than 12 legions of angels?"
Amen. And a legion, according to Roman law, was 6,000.
My God. My God.
It wouldn't take but one, but he was just wanting them to know as he's hanging. They laughed at him, mocked at him, passed by, looked up at him, wagged their tongues and wagged their heads at him, hanging there on the cross, made fun of the Christ on the cross, made fun of Calvary. And Jesus Christ made the statement. You look at it in the Synoptic Gospels, ladies and gentlemen. He said, "No one takes my life. I lay down my life, and I'll take it up again."
Amen.
You know what held Jesus Christ to the cross? Was his love for you and for me.
Amen.
The nails didn't hold him to the cross. The stripes that he had taken his beating, as Dr. Davis was just talking about, that didn't keep him on the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, 12 legions of angels. He could have called to release him from the cross. But he hung there on the cross by volitional decision for your sins and for mine. It's the cross and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross that becomes the propitiation for your sins and for mine. The Bible reminds us that without the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we'd all be hopeless and helpless and without forgiveness. In fact, in Isaiah 64:6, it tells us that explicitly, that without the shedding of blood, without the atoning sacrifice, we'd all be hopeless and helpless without any forgiveness. Dr. Davis, I would like to encourage our listeners. Perhaps we've got someone listening today that's never said yes to Jesus. They've never embraced the cross. They've never recognized the Christ of the cross. They've always looked at the cross with laughter, mockery, or some resentment, or some sense of disillusionment. So I'd like to invite those today, whoever it may be, if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, recognize that without Christ, without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, without embracing Christ, the Christ of the cross, an individual is still lost and on the way to a devil's hell. So perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you're at home, if you have your Bible open, if you're interested and concerned, you can just simply pray a sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I realize I'm on my way to a devil's hell.
Yes, yes.
Forgive
me
of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you.
Yes, right.
Because
now,
you
Lord.
Died for me. That's the only way a person can be saved. That's the only prayer that saves a person. That's the prayer that, as I call it, rings the bells of heaven. That's the prayer that gets the attention of God the Father.
Yes.
It's when we invite Jesus Christ to come into our hearts. We can do nothing. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. We can do nothing. Not one thing. Zip, zero, nothing for our salvation. Jesus died to set us free. We cannot gain salvation any other way than by the cross. As the old song says, the way of the cross leads home, leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It's Christ that died for our sins,
yes,
according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. Dr. Davis, read for us. We've got just a few moments. Read for us Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. Chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10.
Ephesians chapter 4?
No, Ephesians 2.
2.
8 through 10.
Okay. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise,
yes,
having no hope and without God in the world.
Yes.
But now, I like that last
yes,
verse.
Yes, but now.
In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen. Tell us what that's saying to our listeners.
That is so powerful.
Yes.
Right there, letting us know there was a point in time
mm-hmm.
that we didn't have Christ. In other words, we didn't stand a chance to be saved. We didn't, we wasn't included nowhere in the plan of salvation.
That's right.
But even at that time, Christ still died for us.
Yes, in the preparation for the future tense when he would come, live, and hang on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, why the cross? Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died for your sins and mine. He literally, philosophically, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, he literally became sin on the cross. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, you remember the text? He screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that very moment, at that nanosecond, Jesus Christ became the sin, your sin and my sin, and the sin of the whole world. And because God cannot look upon sin, God had to turn his eye in that nanosecond from his son. And his son, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was his cry. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by, dia, through me.
Amen.
And there's one verse that I want to read for us, Dr. Davis, in closing. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves us.
Amen.
Dr. Davis, we've got about 20 seconds. Wrap us up. Share a challenge for our listeners as we close.
I challenge each and every one today not to hold on to this life mm-hmm. that's in this world right now, because this life is coming to an end. And my message to you, as Brother Davis always says, you still need a Savior.
That's right.
So for that reason, I take to heart the thing that the Apostle Paul said from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
Certainly God is going to raise us from the dead through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you again as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune